Clashing the Two, Hour 2 of the Doug and Wolf Show on this Friday morning. A lot of lover boy for one day.
Back-to-back lover boys.
And yet, maybe not quite enough.
No, there's never enough lover boy.
Never enough cowbell either.
Not
enough songs with cowbell in it.
We need more cowbell.
Feels like something that went out in the 80s and also started in the 80s.
Yeah, almost like what's the keyboard guitar?
Oh, the synthesizer thing?
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of things that happened in the 80s that were only in the 80s.
I mean, skinny piano players. Everybody's working for the weekend. There was a DeLorean.
More cowbell.
More cowbell on demand.
Max, let me ask you something. Are you going to work this weekend?
I just worked hard for the weekend,
so I don't plan
on working on the weekend.
Okay, that makes a
I
lot
plan
more
on
sense.
Watching a lot of sports this weekend. I want to see Serena.
Okay.
I want to see World Cup consolation and final.
You'll get that. Very early, though. Unnecessarily early.
It's Russia.
They can't accommodate our time schedule?
I don't think the Russians care about our time schedule.
Pretty unlikely.
They don't
really
care a lot about things that happen in the West.
Oh. Care about hockey.
Right.
Just going to work it in every segment.
Well, that's because, you know, Ovechkin was in Russia partying with the Stanley Cup. That's the reason why they care.
Is that where he is now? We just need a GoPro on his head for the next, 3 months.
Oh, dude, yeah. No, he's definitely going to come back missing more teeth than he had when he left.
That's saying something for Alex Ovechkin.
Yeah.
One thing you will not be watching this weekend. The Summer Suns. You can watch them today at 3:30.
They didn't work hard enough for the weekend.
They did not. The way that game played out, the end of that game, you know, that's why there's a benefit to Summer League, because they were trying to make the comeback and it was close, and with your actual head coach and some of your actual players, you could see a bit of a plan that Igor Kokoschkov put together to try and get them back in it. And they got back in it. It came down to the final possession, and Shaq Harrison, who had a really good game with 17 points, tried to make that pass to Bridges, and I think it was Zaire Smith actually that broke it up, which is kind of ironic since they got traded for each other.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier.
There's a little scorn play there.
Just remember Zaire Smith. I was a little disappointed. I got to be honest. I don't know if it's because you and I have been doing the show this week and we talked so much about how I think there really is a benefit had they gotten a few of these wins in the single elimination. I mean, they have a game today, but they're out of it.
Yeah, they're already eliminated. This is just kind of like, hey, we'll give you one more shot to play together.
Yeah. So I don't know if they had three or four wins.
Yeah, they got their guaranteed minimum games,
and they won all those.
Yeah, except for the one that counted.
Except for the one that counted
to keep them going later to get the bonus games.
Bridges had 7 yesterday. He was 2 for 5 shooting. You know, he's working his way into this. And you know, maybe there's something to just superimposing what we've seen from Bridges and what we've seen from Ayton. The expectations on Ayton are going to be pretty absurd. I get that. He finishes with 10 and 9 yesterday. When Tim Kempton was in here last week, I asked him a few times, you know, what are you looking for from DeAndre Ayton? And every time over the course of the week, he said dominance. I don't know that we saw dominance. That was in the summer league, he meant. Just because, I mean, there's a lot of guys that you're facing in the summer league that aren't NBA players.
No, they're the 13th grade, you know?
Yeah.
Not quite college caliber, you know, just right out of high school.
Like quadruple A baseball players.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you're getting the talent that's not going to be NBA level, but they're college or better.
So
you know, European/G League competition.
Somewhere in there, yeah.
Yeah.
So
it was a good stepping stone to get into the NBA season.
Ayton's obviously going to get a lot better, but the competition's going to get better as well. Maybe we should look at the fact that Mikal Bridges statistically wasn't anything too special in these games. He looked good the first couple.
Yeah, but I mean, what were the opportunities, though?
That's what I'm saying.
For him to actually score. I mean, he was on the floor, but, I mean, you know, he had 5 attempts, field goal, 40%, I mean, which is the same that DeAndre Ayton had 10 shots and, you know, made 4. So, I mean, they're both equal as far as their opportunities on scoring, you know. But at the same time, yeah, you want him to fit in a little bit better. You know, he had a 3-pointer in the game. And, you know, that was a big moment. I'm glad he was able to, you know, lock on target. But you want to see how this team was going to react. And I think it was also to give Kokoschkov just more experience coaching with these young guys.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was really one of the big takeaways with why this kind of meant more, was because you got more chances to work with pieces you're going to be working with during the season. You had at least four pieces out here that are going to be playing significant roles on this team in the season coming up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, they got one more game out of it, so you at least get a little more of that experience.
But you don't get it for the weekend.
No, you don't. You don't. It's time now for D-backs Daily. It will be time for D-backs Daily.
It will.
Trust me, it's happening right here. The
it's going to get there.
It's, well, I'm just
warming up.
We're getting the sound ready.
Yeah.
The
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf react to yesterday's D-backs game. D-backs Daily, brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer and official partner of your Arizona Diamondbacks.
Well, this has been a trend lately. Diamondbacks yesterday scored first.
Here's the 2-2 to Pollock, and A.J. on the ground into left field, a base hit. Jay turns third. He's being waved home. Cuevas up with it. His throw home will be cut off. Throw back to second, and Goldie just did get back in there. Arenado cut that ball off and threw behind Goldie, and they almost got him. But 1-0 Diamondbacks on an RBI single by A.J. Pollock into left field.
Unfortunately, another theme for the Diamondbacks lately has been not scoring much after that, at least against Colorado. Now, Robbie Ray, as you mentioned, he went 5 1/3. He kept the Rockies off the scoreboard. So in that sense, I mean, he did what you would hope. But the Rockies did ultimately tie it. Gerardo Parra with a single.
Bracho checks the runners, and Parra on the ground, and that's into right field. That'll tie the ball game, perhaps. Rounding third, Souza will throw to third base, concedes the runner. We're tied at one on a pinch hit single by Parra.
Yeah, that was in the sixth inning. The big blow coming in the seventh inning.
Story swings, hits it to deep right center field. Back on it goes. Souza looks up, and it's gone. Opposite field home run to the bullpen. In right center for Trevor Story. The lead goes to 4-1 Colorado.
12 home runs now in his career, Trevor Story, against the Diamondbacks, most against any team. Carlos Gonzalez would add an RBI single in the seventh as well. 5-1 the final, so the Rockies take 2 of 3 from the Diamondbacks. Arizona now in Atlanta to take on the Braves. The final series before the All-Star break starting tonight. That is D-backs Daily.
You've been listening to D-backs Daily on the Doug and Wolf Show. Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer and official partner of your Arizona Diamondbacks.
Up next, who do we trust in the Diamondbacks bullpen? Doug and Wolf Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. All right, Luke Kubinski, Max Starks in for Doug and Wolf. We're going to get to the Diamondbacks bullpen in a second. Can you repeat what you just told me?
And it's so appropriate that we have Kanye on right now, playing in the background.
This could go all sorts of bad.
Yeah, it can. So, Kylie Jenner, apparently worth $900 million, as opposed reported by Forbes.
Okay, decent amount.
There has been a GoFundMe campaign to make her a billionaire set up.
Like she needs it.
Exactly.
That's not a waste of money at
all. She's amassed
that
under 3 years at... Yeah, come on, she's 21. Are you serious?
Did she start the GoFundMe page, or did some delusional person that's not her start it?
I think it's somebody. Let's see. Hold on. It says, oh, yeah, it was, I don't even want to say his name.
It doesn't even matter.
Otrovsky, a.k.a. the Fat Jew, I guess, he set up the GoFundMe page to bump her net worth up.
All right. I just want to make sure everybody else heard what I just heard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I mean, when you think of people that GoFundMe,
right? That's an official news site.
Yeah, I was hoping it was going to be like a fake, like it was going to be Bloomberg, and you were just on account or something. But it's actually Bloomberg.
They have the check next to their name.
I mean, who
the blue check?
Who really among us needs money more than Kylie Jenner?
Exactly.
More money.
Yeah, more money.
All right, to the Diamondbacks bullpen. This is Torrey Lovello following yesterday afternoon's loss to the Colorado Rockies.
He did everything he possibly could on a day where we needed somebody to step up and give the type of start we needed. And unfortunately, we didn't get a lot of offensive support. We had some opportunities. But, you know, got to give the Rockies credit. They hung in there. And when they had the opportunity, they took advantage of some key situations.
Now, it's Lovello obviously talking about Robbie Ray, and this is what he liked from Robbie Ray.
He was pounding his fastball in the right edges of the plate with good velo. His secondary stuff looked very, very crisp. I thought overall it was one of his stronger outings that I've seen since he's been here. So he kept us in the game. He was preserving that 1-0 lead, and we unfortunately couldn't tack on.
And one more, this is why he took Robbie Ray out when he did, because this is when things started to get dicey.
Just didn't like the hit batter and then the walk. I felt like that I was asking a little bit too much of him at that point. And he talked me into leaving him in the game. He gave me every right reason that he said he wanted the ball and he wanted the moment. And I thought the Iannetta at bat was very crucial, and I think it swung the game a little bit.
So, you know, from that point on, they take Robbie Ray out. The bullpen doesn't get the job done. It's been a theme lately. Ray ends up he ends up tagged with a couple earned runs from guys he put on base, but Silvino Bracho is the guy that came in to give up the runs. He gave up another run himself, and then Randall Delgado surrendered two in one inning. That was it. I mean, when the offense isn't going, and it hasn't been the last couple games, can't have your bullpen doing that.
No, you can't. And I mean, yeah, the offense had to kick in here to help him out, at least give him a little juice. You know, say, hey, okay, all right, I see my offense is doing something. Let me try and minimize this damage. But there was just nothing after the first inning. And it was, you know, it was sad to see. But, you know, once again, it's just one game. Granted, it's a string of two games. And like you said, three of the last four. And this is where kind of the wheels fell off for pitching.
Yeah, well, you found this, was this azsnakepit.com.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Did this really intense deep dive on who the Diamondbacks could potentially pursue if you're looking for a lefty reliever. So very specific, right?
Yeah, very specific.
Some of the names on this list, like this, you're not going to hear any of these names and be like, oh, well, they get him, they'll win the World Series. This is problem solved. But as you pointed out, this is such a refined group because they're left-handed relievers that are on teams that would make them available, and then they're going to be rentals, so they'll be gone at the end of the year.
Yes.
So then you're really starting to trim that name down. And you're looking at guys like Jerry Blevins, Aaron Loop, Zach Duke, Zach Britton. Britton's the one we've heard the most. Basically, if your name is Zach, you're in the running.
Yeah. If your name's Zach, you've got a good shot at that. And really, the last two are the only two I really like. Britton and Duke, I think, you know, given their ERAs and how much they've pitched, you know, Britton's just coming healthy, so he's only giving you like 12 innings.
Yeah.
Duke's put in already 33 innings, and his ERA is at 2.73. So that's not a bad number when you're looking at it. And you know, think about this: maybe you can get two guys if you go after Duke, and obviously Escobar if you want a bat as well from the Twins.
Yeah,
there's two guys right there. You could kind of maybe make a little package, and you can hit two for one.
Zach Britton is okay. Yeah, so if you get Duke, and okay, I see what you're saying there.
Or you go Britton Machado.
Hey, you know that's let's do that one. Let's explore that option first. This is Zach Britton's numbers the last few years. You mentioned this year he's been hurt, just 13 games, the 4.26 ERA. But the reason that he's the headliner of this group, this is 2017. Okay, 2.89 ERA, 15 saves. 2016, 0.54 ERA, 47 saves. Both the years before that, he was sub 2 with the ERA, and he had 36 and 37 saves, respectively.
Yeah.
There was a stretch for 3 years where he was arguably the best closer in baseball, and those 3 years weren't that long ago.
No, they're very recent.
If you bring him in, I mean, I can't see them making a move and then disrupting Brad Boxberger as the closer right now, unless he starts struggling, but he really hasn't been lately. So if you bring him in, you're asking Zach Britton to be a middle reliever, which he should be able to do, but sometimes you see closers, they have that closer mentality. They're used to coming in the ninth and just hammering down the end of the game, and you ask him to come in the seventh, they're not the same. So that maybe is a little bit
out
of
a hard eight, the hard eighth inning.
Just kind of meet in the middle?
Yes, meet in the middle. Just knock down three guys in a row in the eighth, and we'll call it. You closer-ish.
Hey, yeah, maybe I'm overthinking this. How about Zach Britton, if you can just come in and preserve a lead right now, I don't care what inning it is, just do it.
How about this? If we threw you in the sixth after Robbie Ray has kept it zero, how about you just do that too, and then we can just figure it out after six?
Just be better than Silvino Bracho has been.
Yes, pretty much.
that's the guy. The problem is a lot of teams are going to be targeting him. You might be able to get him at a bit of a discount because he hasn't been effective this year.
Yeah, and he's coming off an injury, so you can kind of negotiate it down.
Yeah.
Whittle it down a little bit. But, I mean, it's him and it's Duke. I mean, really, the rest of the field, I mean, you know, Blevins is at 4-4-3. Diekman, yeah, 3-3-4. Loop, but I'm, yeah. I mean, I prefer.
Wait, what was
I
that again? Yeah. The official scouting report?
Yeah, my official scouting report. But I'd take either of the Zachs.
You want the guy with the most upside, and Zach Britton having the career he's had has that upside.
He has the best upside.
I guess the
but it's going to be tough.
The alternate, or the to play devil's advocate for a second though, is he's going to be the one I would assume, unless somebody else becomes available that we're not thinking of, that you're going to have to pay the most for in a trade. And I still feel like you can get bullpen help without giving up a ton.
But this is specifically for a lefty.
Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like, okay, if you put it in front of me on the table and you say you need a starting pitcher, you need bullpen help, and we still want to try to make a run at Machado. Maybe I'm living in a fantasy world here, but
a bit.
The one of those that I can probably get away with paying the least for is bullpen help.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my thinking. Let's try and get a guy in here that maybe has his ERA isn't fantastic right now. I mean, Zach Britton's ERA is over 4 right now anyway.
Yeah.
But when he comes over to the National League, whoever this guy is, and he gets with our coaches and we're not asking him to close or whatever, maybe he can be more effective. I can keep my prospects tracking a starting pitcher or maybe Machado. That's how I would do it. I would make a run at Machado, but maybe they've already done it and they realize it's just not realistic. You know, keep doing your due diligence because it's not the trade deadline yet, but make a run at Machado. Don't overpay because if it's a bidding war, what's the point? Turn those assets into a starting pitcher and then just try and pick up bullpen help where you can. That might be the Diamondbacks' best option because, like you said earlier, they just don't have a whole lot to work with.
Yeah, they're depleted right now, and they need the help, especially in the pitching department.
It's like they need to go get lunch and dinner, and they've got like $3.
Yeah,
got to get creative here.
It's like, how do I get Brunner?
That might actually be a reliever, Zach Brunner.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure, he's out there somewhere. So that's what to keep an eye on. We ran through some of the bullpen the numbers over the last week or so, and it's just
yeah.
It's not a lot of good right now.
And here's a question. Who do you trust in the bullpen?
Boxberger.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say Boxberger, Bradley, and Hirano.
Yeah, I mean, I still trust Hirano. The only thing with him is we haven't seen him do it for a whole season at the major league level.
In the major league. Right now.
Well, I mean, he was horrible the other night.
He was horrible the other night, but before that, you can say it's a blip on the radar because he is so young.
Yeah. No, I'm 100% with you. I absolutely still trust him. I have no problem giving him the ball tonight if the Diamondbacks have the lead. But there's at least a little part of me that is worried that, you know, will he hold up over the course of 162 games in the majors only because we haven't seen it. And so he was flat out dominant for almost 2 months, and now the last couple outings he's given up a couple runs. But the game the other night, I think you just throw that out.
Yeah, you throw that out. I mean, and he's only given up 3 home runs on the year. So, I mean, it's still looking pretty good.
Join Aaron Maloney in Arizona Sports tomorrow at Volkswagen North Scottsdale from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. We'll be giving away D-backs tickets, 311, and the Offspring tickets, and more. Plus, they'll be hosting an Adopt-a-Dog event in conjunction with Halo Animal Rescue with an on-site food truck. I know I just got your interest there. Got my own interest.
On-site food. What's in the food truck?
Well, it's a mystery truck. Head to the events page at arizonasports.com for details, and we'll see you tomorrow from 11 to 1 at Volkswagen North Scottsdale. Coming up, Arizona Sports ESPYs, Luke Lipinski, Max Starks, in for Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Presenting the 2018 Arizona Sports ESPYs, Luke Lipinski, Max Starks, and the Bear take you through some of the biggest moments in Valley sports this year. Your host, Aaron Maloney.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
That was such a glorious intro.
I feel like I should have dressed up.
I know.
Now for her 9-minute monologue.
Exactly.
Yeah, I need to rap or do some crazy dance like Justin Timberlake did that one year.
Do it all.
Yeah.
I still have that in my head when he was mocking Jessica Simpson. She's like, Tony, Tony. Remember that one?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're going to top that.
I really don't know either,
but
I will try.
Okay, good.
Okay, so I threw out 6 questions on Twitter. We have a lot more, but we'll see how many we can get through.
Okay.
So our first question, what was the most memorable quote in Arizona this year? Should I say what the audience says first?
Well, okay, so hold on. So are the three of us voting? You're not voting. You're just hosting, or are you voting? Okay.
I'm your host.
So, you did say that. Give us the nominees, but don't say what the audience said yet.
Yeah. The nominees are This Is Our House for Archie Bradley.
Okay.
I Don't Want to Be Here, Eric Bledsoe at the Hair Salon.
Okay.
I'm On the Train, Herm Edwards. I Know I'm Going Number One, DeAndre Ayton.
Wow.
I've got my answer.
You got your answer?
I've got my answer.
Okay.
These are, I don't know, because this is the first year we've ever done this, but do we have this many memorable quotes every year? That's 4 pretty good suggestions.
I mean, that's 4 really strong candidates there. You could argue for all of them.
I'm just going to argue for one of them.
Okay, let me hear it.
I'm On the Train with Herm Edwards.
Oh, gosh, really?
It's just so catchy. There's going to be shirts at Sun Devil Stadium.
Don't be a homer.
I'm absolutely going to be a homer. It's the Arizona Sports ESPYs.
Yeah, but there's 4
okay,
other
then, Max,
teams.
What's yours?
Yeah, give me yours.
The Archie Bradley, This Is Our House, was just, that was like just electric. And I felt it, and I was like, you know what? I'm in this house, and this is our house.
Cody?
I felt really good.
For me, it's the Archie, too.
Thank
this
you.
Is our house.
Thank you, Bear.
Because it gets played in every highlight video in the on the D-back show at their games. It's online. It's in GIFs. It's in video. It's
electric.
It's too good.
Yeah, it's too good.
Well, and let's hear
pure raw emotion.
What our audience had to say. And
there's
the winner
envelopes.
Is.
Oh, there. Okay.
Archie Bradley.
Woo! Look at that. Look, take that,
you know
Luke.
You know what? I went for comedic value, but the fact that it was actually sealed in an envelope, I'm willing to sway my opinion a little bit. So, I didn't know we were going to have envelopes.
48% say This Is Our House, Archie Bradley. 27% I Don't Want to Be Here. I'm On the Train got 17%, and 8% DeAndre Ayton. I Know I'm Going Number
One. I was
one.
Torn between Archie and Eric Bledsoe's I Don't Want to Be Here.
Because
that was just so weird.
The exact opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just odd.
It was like, how fast can I get kicked out of a city?
And
I don't
want to
be here
out.
At a hair salon. Really, Eric Bledsoe? At a hair salon, you got to fade.
All four of these came true because Archie, it is their house. Eric Bledsoe didn't want to be here. Herm may be the only one on the train, but he is on the train. And Ayton did go number one.
You are the conductor of a one-person train.
All right, back there.
The biggest meltdown in Arizona sports this year. The nominees are ASU men's basketball in the Pac-12, Coyotes starting the season 0-10-1, the Cardinals in London, and then U of A in the first round of the tournament.
All right, Max, you can go first. Or do we want to let Bear go first?
Yeah, Bear, you go first.
I think he has something to say.
Go ahead, Bear.
We'll just go clockwise.
Yeah, I would say U of A in the tournament because it's just I went to ASU, so I have to relish in their failure.
That is a homer pick, right?
That was a true homer
but
pick.
But I want to give an honorable mention. How about the D-backs in May?
Yeah,
that's an honorable mention at least.
It's right there. It's absolutely right there because they didn't look like the same team.
But yeah, I like U of A losing too much to not vote for that one.
All right,
and I guess because I'm a football player, I would say that meltdown in London was pretty bad.
That was because they were still kind of in it.
They were still kind of in it, and that would have been a catalyst. And they absolutely just sent bodies. That was like the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, we don't ever need to talk about that game again.
Yeah, but that's what it seemed like. It was like the ghost of success past.
I'm going to go with U of A in the first round as well because that is a team led by DeAndre Ayton losing
the number one overall pick,
Buffalo. The Buffalo Bulls. Almost the Buffalo Bills, but not quite.
But the Buffalo Bills also made the playoffs.
And they trolled him on draft night when he got taken number one overall. So, yeah. We're going with that for sure. Although, yeah.
Well,
I'll just
let's see what the voters had to say. And the winner is ASU men's basketball in the Pac-12.
This isn't going well for me.
There we go, Code.
I guess that was pretty bad.
36% ASU men's basketball, 27% Cardinals in London, 25% U of A in the first round, 12% the Coyotes in their 0-10-1 start.
I feel pretty good right now. Even though I didn't win that one, I still outperformed both of you guys.
Oh, it just,
all right,
not
next
about
question, guys. Let's move it along.
Oh, Aaron's going to get
sorry.
Played
the
off
biggest
with the music.
Trade.
Okay.
Arizona moves up and drafts Josh Rosen. Prospects for J.D. Martinez. Miami pick for Mikal Bridges. And Max Domi for Galchenyuk.
Oh.
You get to go first. I know where people are going to vote, and it's not right.
What do you mean?
Go ahead. You go.
It's the Rosen pick.
All right. That's it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what else to say. We traded up for a quarterback that we needed, and it was a great move by the Cardinals, and I'm glad he was still available, you know, at 11, but the fact that he was available and we took advantage of it and didn't just wait.
I'm not going to argue against that because that was pretty fantastic, but we already know that J.D. Martinez came over and did everything the Diamondbacks could have ever asked. I guess
where's J.D. Martinez right
okay,
now?
But
hitting
it's
homers
it's just
for, the
Sox. For this calendar year that started in July. It's just for this fiscal year.
Okay.
Bear?
I would also say the Rosen
thank
trade
you.
Because
you get on a different
it was
show.
Pretty much the opposite of what usually happens here. The Cardinals never get a quarterback in the first round. Steve Keim never moves up in the first round. And we didn't think he'd be available at 13 or 10-13, but he was. And they pulled it off.
Yeah.
For their quarterback of the future. Finally. They finally get him.
All right, Aaron.
And the winner is 56% Josh Rosen.
We've turned this into a win-or-lose competition.
Yeah, I've got so competitive.
29% say prospects for J.D. Martinez. 10% Max Domi for Galchenyuk. 5% the Miami pick for Bridges.
If the Rosen trade didn't happen, I would have said J.D. Martinez.
Yeah, me too.
Because that was huge, and he was awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not wrong, Luke.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're just not as right as us.
I don't need your reassurance that I'm not wrong. The guy came in and hit better than Babe Ruth.
I guess you
all right,
do
guys.
Have numbers.
The most memorable exit. Eric Bledsoe Hair Salon. Todd Graham for Herm Edwards. Bruce Arians beating Seattle, then retiring. Earl Watson fired 3 games into the season.
All right, I'm going first on this
one. You are.
It was during a Cardinals game, I believe, when Eric Bledsoe tweeted that out. I don't know how that's not the right answer, but so far I'm 0 for. But I'm going with Eric Bledsoe with the Hair Salon tweet.
Bears on you.
I agree. It's Bledsoe because we had so much fun with that too. All the social media stuff that sprung from that one tweet.
And then Earl
awesome.
Watson just got fired like 20 minutes later.
Yeah.
It was a very weird
those
day.
Two kind of coincide.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bledsoe, I don't want to be here. Oh, I'm at the hair salon. The hair salon. Whatever, man.
Yeah. Lie to me once, please.
I didn't realize how angry Cody was. No, that's not true. I forgot.
I'm an Arizona sports fan. I'm constantly in a state of anger.
Exactly. I'm going to go with Bledsoe as well.
Sweet.
Watch us all be wrong or not guess the right one.
And the winner is? Eric Bledsoe, hair salon tweet.
That's right.
Vindication.
There it is.
Second place was Bruce Arians beating Seattle, then retiring.
That was swan song.
In third place, Todd Graham for Herm Edwards, 10%. And in last place, Earl Watson being fired 3 games into the season.
which you could add that to the kind of
tied
Bledsoe.
In. I like
kind it. Of tied
right.
in.
Aaron, are you coming back for more of this later on?
Yeah, we'll do that later on.
Yes.
Excellent. All right.
That was fun.
Good. I'm glad you're having fun.
Because I'm winning.
Coming up, you're not winning. It's
yes,
not a competition. It's an award show.
It is competitive to me.
All right, then I'm going to win next time.
Unless you're a nominee, you don't win anything.
Let's see that.
That is true.
The hostess has spoken. All right.
But I'm a winning guesser.
Coming up, we'll get back into the Suns Summer League, and I'm going to throw a name out there that now isn't available anymore for the Suns, but I wanted him on the Suns. We'll discuss that next. Luke Lipinski, Max Starks, in for Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Show alongside Max Starks, Luke Lipinski in for Doug and Wolf. We're going to get in the Summer League in just a second. I think I may be on an island here as the only one who wanted this guy back in a Suns uniform. I was at least willing to try it, but you heard in the update.
It's a pretty big island. I'll give you that.
Big Island and that I'm just alone on a large island, or there's other people on
there? There's other people on the
okay.
island.
I don't know. Isaiah Thomas.
You can have commerce.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, there you go.
Make myself like king? Could I do that?
Chief.
Where is this island, though? I don't want one of those.
Yeah, I don't know. You're marooned somewhere.
Okay. Took a sharp turn down. Really,
it did. But there's a lot of seafood available because you're on an island. It's
okay,
ocean.
That's fine. Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, no, I agree with
$2 million to Denver for 1 year.
Pretty much for nothing.
I mean, that's somebody you could have afforded. You're not making some long-term commitment if you want to go out and make a free agent splash next year. It's not like you had to commit. And maybe the Suns didn't think he'd go for so cheap. I don't think Isaiah Thomas thought he was going for this cheap.
No, he didn't.
But I don't know if there's an element of, well, he was here and it was kind of, looking back, we shouldn't have gotten rid of him. And so if you bring him back, it's
like admitting fault,
I guess.
And on the flip side of that, would he even have wanted to come back because of what happened?
Yeah, but I mean, you also
that's
think
that's fair, though.
But this team is so much different than the team he was a part of.
Well, he's going.
Like, so much has changed.
But the guy who traded him away is still here.
Is still here.
Well, yeah, but I mean, at this point, you know, you have a new coaching staff. You can kind of look past that guy.
And maybe we don't want. I don't know.
I would have wanted him back too. Yeah. I'm on the island with you, especially after last night. $2 million.
That's maybe it would have cost the Suns four. I mean, maybe it would have been something like that. Where, like Cody's saying, like, you know, he is a little hesitant to come back here. Denver had a much better record last year. If he's going for 1 year, he probably wants to win now. But may I remind you, the 2016-17 season with the Celtics, he averaged 29 points a game. That was 1 year ago. And then, you know, everything happened with LeBron and Kyrie, so Kyrie goes to Boston.
And the injury, too. He had the injury.
Yeah.
Yeah, as well. So at the end of that Boston stint.
But they loved him in Boston. It's not easy to be loved in Boston.
Yes, yeah.
And so his two full seasons there, 29 points in 2016-17, 22 points a game the previous year, the 2015-16 campaign. Last year was just so disjointed, partially because of injury, but partially because LeBron apparently ran Kyrie over to Boston. And if your choice is Kyrie Irving or Isaiah Thomas, then obviously you're going with Kyrie. But Isaiah Thomas has had a weird story.
Yeah, he has.
And you want to talk about a reclamation project with no risk at a position you need? I would have done that.
And
I would have found a way.
Top available free agent at the point guard position as it stands as of right now.
Yeah.
That was a very small investment I would have taken a risk on. I would have just had to swallow some pride and say, hey, at least we can solidify the point guard position and then focus elsewhere. And you've really won, I think, in a lot of people's minds, the offseason. If you secure him with Trevor Ariza for $17 million, you get two players.
And I don't think Suns fans would have looked at that and been like, oh, you're just admitting your mistake. I think Suns fans would have said, okay, we know this was a mistake. If we can get him back now much cheaper, there's no risk. If he's when he's healthy, he's pretty effective. Now, he's not going to come in here and score 29 points a game, but he could be a useful piece. And if he's not, you know, if he's hurt all season, then you just go with Brandon Knight. I mean, that's what you're doing right now anyway.
Exactly. And it's $2 million. It's a $2 million bet, you know, I mean, and if you get anything out of him, it's still positive. And you paid virtually a cheap price tag for a really good player.
Yeah. I don't know. Instead, it sounds
what
like he's going to Denver.
What could have been?
So, summer league. The Suns will play this afternoon against San Antonio in what I believe is a consolation game. The bracket is very...
That's not a consolation. It's just we're giving you an extra game. We promised you five. This is your fifth one.
Yeah, because then would you be playing for 17th place? It's the 17th place game. This is basically the whole point of summer league is to get the experience. We don't want you going out after four games.
Yeah, exactly. We want to get you to five, and we'll find a way to get you to five.
So one more game for the Suns. We talked about DeAndre Ayton and some of what we've seen from him. Just summer league in general. Are you as big of a fan as a lot of people have become of this? I mean, now we've got all 30 teams in Vegas. It's constantly on ESPN and NBA TV. It is a way for basketball fans to sort of to feed that hunger in the offseason. I mean, at this point the other day, I wish the NHL would do something like this.
Yeah, and I think now I am a fan of summer league, as opposed to years past where it was kind of some teams represented, and you didn't really know how those teams got picked to be represented. But now that you have a full field of NBA associations or team organizations involved, it makes it more compelling. And I think it's only going to grow from here on out. And, you know, Vegas will have basketball consistently every year. You can now count on it because I think it was a big success this year. And like you said, the nonstop coverage that came with it, and it's only going to bring more people there, especially in the summertime in Vegas. Not that you need more people in Vegas in the summer or another reason to go to Vegas, but this is a cool thing where you get to kind of see the future talent of the NBA because you're going to see all your draft picks and lottery picks are going to be there playing in it. That's one thing you can guarantee.
Yeah.
And then maybe some star or star rising second-year players that, you know, probably contributed the previous season, and now you get to see more of them in the offseason.
A lot of teams had, you know, their main names there, too. Obviously, Devin Booker was there on Tuesday. Ben Simmons was getting interviewed during the game yesterday between the Suns and the 76ers. So it's sort of just it's like an NBA gathering for a couple weeks in Vegas.
It's like an NBA convention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like you said, any excuse for people to go to Vegas, if you're an NBA fan, hey, I have to. I'm watching Summer League basketball.
You know how much of a Suns fan I am. I love you, but, you know, I got to go to Vegas. I just want to see a couple games. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why I'm going to Vegas. I'm staying off strip.
Trying to figure out which jersey I'm going to buy next
year. I'm not going to gamble. I'm not going to party at all.
You have to go beyond that. People gamble in Vegas, honey?
What?
This is the first I've heard of this.
What is it? I thought Las Vegas was in a desert.
It's right there, next to Utah. I just thought it was all basketball.
It's remote, right? It's a remote location that not a lot of people go to. In fact, I had to drive there.
Yeah.
I can't even fly into Vegas.
They don't even have an airport in Vegas, do they?
Where?
Yeah. Las Vegas,
last time I
New
remember
Mexico?
Vegas was UNLV and Larry Johnson.
Also,
weird middle part. That was it.
You can take that path, or you can go with the, honey, this is my only chance to watch Jack Cooley play basketball. And if I don't go see him now... It's like I'm sure when Jordan retired, people were like, this is my last chance to see Michael Jordan.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, or you could say, I really wanted to see Rahir Hollis Jefferson.
You could. I feel like I'd see right through that lie.
You would.
Yeah, I would.
You would.
What's Shaq Harrison with the summer
there we go.
He put together?
I could see Shaq Harrison.
You can see Shaq Harrison, at least for one more game.
Yeah.
I had that thought.
I had to stay through the whole weekend.
Because at that point, who flies home on a Friday night?
Exactly. It's says nobody.
No. I'm going to fly back to Phoenix from Vegas.
I'm flying in for the game, and I'm flying right back home, honey, I promise.
But he put up 17 points yesterday. It's you know more than the stats. Just when you watched, he seemed like he was in control of the game a lot yesterday. Yeah, and even the pass at the end, I know it didn't go well, but that wasn't necessarily a horrible decision.
No, it wasn't a horrible decision. You get what he was trying to do. It just, you know, Zaire Smith had, you know, was a little pissed off about the trade, and it was going to Mikal Bridges, who he got traded for. So, I mean, you know, you just talk about the karma involved in that one play.
Hopefully it's the only time that comes back to bite the Suns.
Yeah, I hope so as well.
But he really is. Shaq Harrison is, and Davon Reed, I guess, to a certain extent, too, and he played well yesterday. Those are the guys that Summer League was originally built for. It wasn't built to showcase the DeAndre Aytons and the Jaren Jackson Juniors. It was built to get these guys, like these sort of fringe players like Harrison and Reed, a chance to latch on somewhere around the NBA. And I think we're going to see Shaq Harrison.
And get NBA officials to actually put their names on the radar. And I thought that was effective in that point. So Summer League accomplished this goal. Because we're talking about Davon Reed and Shaq Harrison.
Coming up, one player isn't happy about his Madden rating, plus Shelby Miller is on the DL. What does that mean for the D-backs? We'll get into it next. Luke Lipinski, Max Starks, in for Duggan Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.